And there to call the elders where there is this existing church in operation, these office bearers are in place, and he calls for them because he doesn't want to take any more time out of his schedule. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He doesn't want to get sidetracked, but he's got a number of things that he wants to say to these elders. And it is in that meeting, which probably took place in the open air along the coast, maybe even on a beach, and he sat them down and opened up his heart. He spoke about the things past, and he is speaking about things future. And he is really giving a justification for what motivates him to go at full speed to Jerusalem.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. It is a joy to bring you the message of the gospel again today, and we're continuing in the life of the Apostle Paul as he faces the city of Jerusalem in spite of certain danger, danger that will eventually cost him his life. But in spite of that, he's determined to go. Before we get into that message today from the pulpit of our church here, we want to just set before you a Bible verse for today. Psalm 77, verse 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? God's greatness is very little disputed amongst God's people. As to his power, it is unquestionable. In creation, his power is seen all around us. But that God's way is in the sanctuary, alas, is forgotten by so many. So many forget the place of prayer. So many forget the place where God bestows power upon his own believing children. And they try techniques, they try new methods, but the place of prayer is neglected. Many churches have no prayer meetings. Many Christians read the Bible, but they have never really learned to pray. The Church of the Lord Jesus is no longer the place where men are schooled in prayer, and where prayer is perhaps talked about, but very little practiced. There were Christians in a time when who wrestled with God, who agonized, who believed in praying in night seasons, who spent hours and perhaps days in prayer, when special prayer seasons were set aside, because they knew and believed that God's way is in the sanctuary. They believed that the way to power and victory is first of all to go to God for power, and then we will have power with men. Let us learn from this. Let us not make the continual mistake of rushing into God's work without time in prayer, without seeking God's power. And so learn from Psalm 77:13, as the psalmist taught us, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? And then we will know more of his greatness. Now we turn to our message today, Acts chapter 20, Paul reasoning with the elders at Ephesus that he must, in spite of all danger, go to Jerusalem.
Right, back to Acts chapter 20. Well, I'm not going to preach on that rather sad incident where the fellow fell out the window after the meeting went on for a long, long time. You probably notice that we don't have any benches up against windows, so we're not, I don't think, at risk of anyone falling out the window. So I can probably do what Paul did, and that means preach a long, long time until at least one fellow fell asleep. And I don't think you would want me to follow that part of Paul's ministry at all. You may have heard the story of the deacon who was asked by the preacher to waken a man up in the church service. And this was while the meeting was going on. The preacher just spoke down and said to one of the deacons, would you waken that man up? And the deacon shouted back at the preacher and said, well, you should waken him up because you put him to sleep. So every preacher has to take responsibility for his preaching and for putting people over to sleep. We come tonight to another window into the life of the Apostle Paul. I'm looking for those little windows. I'm looking for those little character insights where we can really get inside the man and find out what makes him tick. We've noted a number of them already. And we come back tonight to this interview with the elders of Ephesus. And I'd remind you that Paul has been doing some island hopping, going down along the coast of Asia Minor, and he comes to this place called Miletus, which is actually on the mainland, and he sends a few messengers to go about 30 miles inland to Ephesus, and there to call the elders where there is this existing church in operation. These office bearers are in place, and he calls for them because he doesn't want to take any more time out of his schedule. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He doesn't want to get sidetracked, but he's got a number of things that he wants to say to these elders. And it is in that meeting, which probably took place in the open air along the coast, maybe even on a beach, and he sat them down and opened up his heart. He spoke about the things past, and he is speaking about things future. And he is really giving a justification for what motivates him to go at full speed to Jerusalem. Now, I note the big statement in verse 22. And I'm going to take this statement tonight as the springboard heading for every point we make. Paul said, "Behold, I go. Behold, I go." And we take this as his action plan. And everything that he says after that heading is really the principles, the driving forces that are pushing him to depart from this part of the world, Asia Minor, and make this trip over to Jerusalem. And so I would say that verse 22 and the following verses are like a statement of purpose. And they lay out what is inside the man, the burden that he has under God, that he must now go to Jerusalem. So I want to take those words, "Behold, I go," and I want those words to be ringing in your ears as we go through this tonight. Firstly, Paul said, "Behold, I go." And you'll notice here in verse 22, regulated by the Spirit. "Behold, I go, bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that befall me there." Here is a man that is not living according to the flesh, but he's living in the Spirit. And he's not going to Jerusalem as a tourist. He's not going out of self-interest. He's not going because it's the time of year when many people make that kind of trip and he just wants to go along for the ride. He could honestly say that this that he was now doing, he was the prisoner of the Lord. He was laid hold upon or bound, as he says here. He is a captive in doing the will of God at this time. Duty was calling. It was his absolute God-given duty to leave these parts in Asia Minor and the Mediterranean and make this coast trip eastward to Jerusalem. It is a happy position to be in. when you are saying, what I am doing is my duty. And many people may be bewildered about why I'm leaving here, why I'm departing here. And of course, you know the story, how they pleaded with him not to go. They wanted him to stay, but he insisted that he was bound in the Spirit and he was doing God's duty. Now, when God speaks and God controls, and you know that you're acting out of your Christian duty to the voice of the Lord, then you may know that you will have God's blessing no matter what. Because he was going in spite of the things that he was being warned would befall him there. And oh, that we had more of this sense of duty amongst God's people. Have you ever heard of the term, maybe you've had it thrown at you, it's the term legalism. You're a legalist. Or this church is a legalist church. Because it makes rules. Because it sets standards. Because it requires people to perform Christian duties. Now that makes me sick. That makes me very discouraged. Whenever you have people who profess that they are disciples of the Lord Jesus, and they've been washed in the blood of Christ, and they have said, I want to follow the Son of God wherever he leads me, wherever he will go. And then whenever, as a church or as a Christian fellowship, we say, well, God's will is to depart from worldliness and for you to do the will of God in your life, then we're legalists. Something wrong. Paul did not think that this was legalism, that he was going into Jerusalem out of some form of bondage. Now, he talked about being bound in the Spirit, but to him it was not bondage in the Spirit. And if anyone dares say that the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity, leads them into bondage, I dare say that's blasphemy. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of liberty. He is the Spirit of power. He it is the Spirit of joy to the Christian. We'll come to it later, but I would point out right now that in verse 24, Paul talks about the joy, that I might finish my course with joy. So Paul was not going to Jerusalem pouting, as under some legalistic spirit that he was going contrary to his own real desires. No, he was a man that discovered the will of God, and he was going to do it with all of his heart, with that great sense of freedom that God's people ought to enjoy in serving the Lord.
Oh,
Liberty to serve the Lord is a great thing. Paul the Apostle believed in it. He preached it. It was part and parcel of his whole gospel message. And he enjoyed that in his own soul and in his own life. And he expected others to enjoy it as he set forth the Christian message to them. And today in our Christian lives, we ought to be serving the Lord in liberty, in that freedom that the Lord has set us free. Because our Lord Jesus said, "He that whom the Son hath set free is free indeed." We're not in bondage. We are set at liberty to serve the Lord. And I trust that today that the Lord has ministered to your heart. We're coming up to part two of this message, and I trust that you will be encouraged in your own soul and that you will be blessed. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. I trust you'll be encouraged and that you'll stay tuned with us for the closing announcements and details as we bring our program to an end today.
Duty is God's will for us. I could digress here and start talking about career choices, what kind of field of service you enter into in your life. Could talk here about the workplace where you want to live, about marriage. I could go on to talk about church commitment, serving the Lord in His church. But you know, a whole lot of that comes down to doing your duty. Comes down to doing your duty. And a lot of people flop about and they say, "Well, I'm not sure what I'm doing." Do your duty. Get this Bible and discover what is the will of God. Discover what are the parameters God has set. And do your duty. And the Lord has promised that when we obey Him step by step. Paul didn't know what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem. He didn't know what was going to be the next step, but he knew what the first step was. And he was going to obey the Lord, not men. And there were many saying to Paul, "Don't go. On the peril of your life, do not go." And Paul said, "I must go. I go bound in the Spirit." And when we determine the will of God aright by the Bible and by the Holy Ghost, everything comes down to doing your duty. Sunday school teacher, do your duty. Mother, do your duty. Father, do your duty. Church member, do your duty. I, as minister of the church, must do my duty. I remember saying to someone not long ago who raised this whole matter of legalism, you know, when you say to a Christian, you must do something, and you're called a legalist, I said, well, it becomes a matter of discipline. I can't get up on a Sunday morning and look out the window and say, "Oh, it's snowing and it's cold. I just get back into bed again." And here we have a congregation of people gathering, no minister. And I'm the one that's supposed to have this task. I can't opt out of doing what is my duty. Now, if through the week I had said, "Well, look, I can't be at that meeting," and I let the deacons know, or I let others who can arrange things know, "Look, I just can't be there. I'm ill. I'm otherwise engaged. I can't be there." I have a duty. When it comes to Christian service, in any of these areas, we've got to do our duty. It comes down to obeying the clear will of God. And I could go through a whole list of things tonight that are the duties of men, women, the duties of teenagers, the duties of a family, the duties in the church. But that might just lead us away from our character study tonight. But that's how I see it from Paul's life. Here's a man, he said, "I go bound in the Spirit." He was regulated by the Spirit, not living according to his own desires. I trust you'll take that to heart tonight. I think there's a sermon there in its own. I think there's a great life-changing message there on its own. And it's not bondage. It's living in the Spirit. And we've got these people who say, oh, I don't want rules and regulations. I don't want do's and don'ts. I just want to be living in the Spirit. The Spirit of God never leads you contrary to the will of God or the Word of God. He's the Spirit of truth, and he gives you the power and the liberty to obey and enjoy it. Now, secondly, verse 23, the next verse following, you'll notice that Paul could say, I go realistic of earthly trials. He was going regulated by the Spirit. That's verse 22. Then verse 23, realistic of earthly trials. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide or await me, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Now, it is a good thing that God does not reveal to us in advance all the troubles that may befall us. But Paul did know. He did not know the details. He did not know how it would all work out. But he knew that he was in for a period of personal suffering, personal trial. He knew, of course, that his life was in danger, but that was nothing new. He had had that all the while. And he knew that he was in dangerous work, preaching the gospel in a hostile environment. And he was not going back to a safe place for Paul, Jerusalem. Jerusalem was seething with Judaizers who were hostile against the church. Remember the persecution that caused the diaspora, that drove the Christians out? They were scattered, going everywhere preaching the word. It was because of the concentration of opposition in Jerusalem that the Christians were scattered. And Paul was going right into the hub of that very opposition. And of course, no one could guarantee his safety, and many were pleading with him not to go at all. But in spite of this, and though he was a realist, he still went on to do God's will. You see, Paul didn't look around and say, well, here are a few options, let me take the easy one. Let me take the one that is easy and cozy, the one that will bring me the most gain or gratification. That's basically what Lot did when he was given the option and he looked upon the valley that was green towards Sodom. It was appealing to the eyes, and Lot chose Sodom. Paul was the total opposite. He knew that he was heading right into a very crucible of trouble and trial. But just think of how many missionaries the Apostle Paul has become a father figure to and a tremendous example to. Think of the many that have gone to Africa and China and many parts of the world, risking their all, because they believed, just as Paul believed, that they were going to those missionary places bound in the Spirit, in the will of God. They did not know what would befall them. They did not know how they would be treated. They didn't know what comfort or what hardships they would endure. But you can imagine missionaries reading the life of the Apostle Paul, and down through the centuries, missionary after missionary, finding after the pattern of Paul, I must go. I'm a realist. I'm not burying my head in the sand and saying when I get there, there's going to be a bed of feathers for me. It's going to be a heap of trouble. But they went anyway.
that has been the mark of God's servants down through the ages. No matter what the difficulties, they go according to the will of God. God doesn't promise an easy road, but he does promise rewards, he promises his presence, and he promises ultimate victory when the word of God is faithfully ministered where the Lord Jesus is exalted. Our Lord Jesus said, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And of course, we're claiming that promise for the ministry of the gospel here on radio. And I trust you've been blessed and encouraged, and that your heart has been drawn to consider the Lord, to look unto him as your God and as your Savior. If we can be of any personal encouragement, feel free to be in touch with us here. The announcements, details of our programs coming up now in just a few seconds, and I trust that you'll stay tuned with us and note them down. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.